KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And just after 8 o'clock, we have a clear to partly cloudy sky, and it's 20 degrees. We look for skies to be mostly cloudy today with a chance of light snow or flurries this afternoon, a high around 36. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. The Creston Police Department reports two arrests. Late Thursday morning, 45-year-old Matthew Brummett of Creston was arrested on a Union County warrant for the charges of violation of a protection order and probation violation. Brummett was being held in the Union County Jail while awaiting a bond hearing. And a little after 1 o'clock this morning, 44-year-old Brad William Reed of Creston was arrested for OWI first offense following a non-injury accident. Reed was driving a 2012 Chrysler Town & Country van northbound on Lincoln Street when the van collided with a legally parked 2017 Ford F-250 pickup registered to SIRWA, or the Southern Iowa Rural Water Association. Damage from the incident amounted to $7,000. Reed was taken to the Union County Jail and later released on a $1,000 cash bond. A bipartisan group of lawmakers who represent Iowa and Nebraska are joining to sponsor legislation that would help communities like Hamburg that are fighting federal rules about making temporary levees permanent. Iowa Congresswoman Cindy Axne of West Des Moines, a Democrat, says additions to a levee that had saved Hamburg from 2011 flooding had to be removed because of current Army Corps of Engineers rules.
The bureaucratic piece of red tape didn't allow the residents in a community to keep a levee up that would have kept them out of harm's way, we believe, in this recent flooding incident.
Congressman Don Bacon of Omaha, a Republican, represents a district on the Nebraska side of the Missouri River, and he's co-sponsoring the bill in the U.S. House with Axne. The legislation sets up a new regulatory pathway for temporary flood control structures that can be made permanent.
With the idea in mind that if we already have a levee in place that was put in there temporarily that served a purpose, and that if we can, you know, are able to make some considerations to use that levee and not tear it down, then this bill will help us address that.
Iowa Republican Joni Ernst has filed a similar bill in the U.S. Senate.
There's a various coalition of those of us up and down the Missouri River that want to see things changed, and so we will keep pushing on those issues.
In 2011, the Army Corps raised the levee protecting Hamburg by 8 feet, but the Corps' current rules required that extra height to be removed because the community couldn't come up with the money to make the addition permanent. The legislation Ernst and Axne are sponsoring would direct the Corps to consider the economic impact of removing temporary flood control structures. It also calls for waiving rules that require local governments to come up with matching funds for levees if the community has fewer than 10,000 residents. Axne said the federal government has spent tax dollars responding to this year's Missouri River flooding that might have been saved if the height of the Hamburg levee hadn't been reduced. During the Senate hearing this past spring, Ernst quizzed Army Corps officials about their management of the flood control structures along the Missouri River corridor. Federal inspectors plan to review how well a Nebraska nuclear power plant handled a water service safety problem blamed on a silt buildup from the Missouri River. The river overwhelmed levees along its length last spring, as mentioned into the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, or NRC, said in a news release Thursday that the Cooper Nuclear Station near Brownville, Nebraska, was operating December 6th with employees detected that water wasn't flowing through a pipe connected to one of the two safety generators. The other generator was available. Nebraska Public Power District soon determined that silt had built up and blocked a pipe outfall. The district had the silt removed within a week. Well, the Cass County Board of Supervisors met Thursday morning in Atlantic with all members present, and according to Auditor Dale Sunderman, the board reelected Steve Beyer as chairman for 2020 and Steve Green as vice chair. They then decided to continue holding their regular meetings each week on Tuesdays beginning at 9 a.m. unless otherwise noted. A motion was made by Supervisor Frank Waters to set the mileage rate reimbursement for the use of personal vehicles for county business at 50 cents per mile for 2020, but the motion died for a lack of a second. Supervisor Mark O'Brien then moved to set the mileage reimbursement rate for the use of personal vehicles for county business at 45 cents per mile for 2020. That was seconded and carried unanimously. The board also approved setting the 2020 per mileage fee to be charged by a sheriff for civil process at the standard IRS per mile rate, and they elected to continue paying the medical examiner's fee of $200 per call. The Atlantic Police Department released information on a number of arrests dating back to December 11th. Most recently, on December 31st, officers arrested 22-year-old Skylar Bingham of Atlantic for domestic abuse assault by impeding air or blood flow. On December 30th, 60-year-old Joseph Hahn of Atlantic was arrested on a Cass County warrant for purchase or possession of depiction of a minor in a sex act, first offense. On December 29th, 26-year-old Jason Mark of Atlantic was arrested for public intoxication. That same day, 35-year-old Michael Nikolaisen of Atlantic was arrested for possession of a controlled substance, marijuana, second offense. On December 28th, 27-year-old Nicole Fries of Carter Lake was arrested on a Fremont County warrant for violation of probation and possession of a controlled substance, marijuana, first offense. On a Christmas Eve day, two arrests were reported in Atlantic. 28-year-old Samuel Martinez Alvarado of Atlantic was taken into custody for operating while intoxicated, or OWI, and 43-year-old Jason Tasto of Atlantic was arrested for public intoxication. On December 23rd, 31-year-old Casey Sampson of Atlantic was arrested on a Cass County warrant for a controlled substance violation. 37-year-old Donald Cantorite of Atlantic was arrested on two Cass County warrants for theft in the fifth degree. And 45-year-old Patrick Farron of Atlantic was arrested on a Cass County warrants for unlawful possession of prescription drugs and domestic abuse assault. You can read about the other arrests in this same story on our news page at KJAN.com. All of those subjects I mentioned were booked into the Cass County Jail. And the Mills County Sheriff's Office yesterday said 30-year-old Joshua Miller of Glenwood was arrested December 31st on an assault charge. He was taken into custody on that date at around 11:30 p.m. and held on a $1,000 bond. There were no injuries reported following an accident New Year's Day on Interstate 29 in Mills County. Authorities said a Jeep and a Kia were both traveling northbound on I-29 just before 10 a.m. when the Jeep, driven by 20-year-old Max Hughes of Fresno, California, merged into the right lane to pass a semi in the left lane. Hughes said he took his eyes off the road to possibly look at his phone, and when he looked up, saw the Kia, driven by 64-year-old Kathy LaChance of Auburn, Nebraska, was directly in front of him. Hughes was able to slow down prior to rear-ending LaChance's vehicles, or rather unable to slow down. He was traveling at a speed of 75 to 80 miles per hour when the collision occurred. LaChance estimated her speed at 70 miles per hour. Sheriff's deputy cited Hughes for following too close. The news was brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.